back for the second hour of Issues Etc. Well, of course, everybody's talking about tomorrow's elections, and we're going to spend some time talking in the second hour about it as well, but we're going to talk about the issues that really matter. In about 30 minutes, after we talk with the representatives of both Illinois Right to Life and Missouri Right to Life about the pro-life candidates in both of those states respectively, we're going to be speaking with Alexia Kelly. She's Religious Outreach Director for the Kerry Campaign. She joins us from Ohio. We'll talk about faith, politics, and Democratic presidential candidate Senator John Kerry. This is a rare interview, and this is one you want to stay tuned for here on Issues Etc. Then in the third hour of the program, Father Richard John Newhouse will join us to talk about the Catholic vote. He, of course, is editor-in-chief of First Things magazine, and Frank Beckwith will join us in the last part of our conversation today for about 25 minutes to talk about Christians and what he calls strategic pro-life voting. Dr. Frank Beckwith in the last half hour or so of Issues Etc. Bill Beckman is our guest. He's executive director of Illinois Right to Life. He joins us to talk about the statewide races and the pro-life candidates in Illinois and tomorrow's election. Bill, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi. Thank you, Todd.
How would you rate Illinois as a state? Is Illinois a pro-life state?
Well, Todd, I think that over the entire country, I mean, the surveys done even by the pro-abortion groups are showing that when they ask the correct questions as opposed to loaded questions, that the country is turning more and more pro-life, and I believe that's true in Illinois as well. But I haven't, to my recollection, seen a specific survey that was focused strictly on Illinois to answer that specific question for the state, but I can tell you this, that over the last year of the statistics, that the abortion rate in Illinois dropped by 10%, which is a profound drop for 1 year, especially when we didn't even have any new laws passed in Illinois that would in any way affect the abortion rate, such as what's occurred in a number of other states. So yes, I think that Illinois is definitely moving in that direction.
What if you look at those whom Illinois elects? Are we looking at pro-life candidates by and large?
Well, you know, we've got a very mixed bag there. I mean, we have had because I think, you know, when you look at the Republican Party over the years, that we have had a few significant exceptions who've been strongly pro-life, but a number of our Republican candidates have actually been pro-abortion, and the Republican Party leadership has tended to maintain that they needed to do that to be competitive, and now we strongly disagree with that. We follow the statistics in many other states, and effectively, when we find that when people are strongly pro-life and declare their values and don't waffle on the issues, that they people respect them for their values, and even though some people may be, you know, opposed to them on certain life issues, that they'll vote for them based on the fact that they respect their integrity and that they like them on other issues. So in virtually all races where the abortion's an issue, I mean, the analysis that's been done by Right to Life groups that follow the political scene is that, you know, a pro-life position, you know, always wins you more votes than you lose.
Where does the current governor in Illinois stand on the life issue?
In reality, he's pretty strongly pro-abortion on virtually all aspects of the issues. I mean, we would not expect that we could get any pro-life laws through the state of Illinois right now with the current configuration of the legislature and governor in the state of Illinois.
And just so we can touch upon this, what's the breakdown in the Illinois House and Senate on the life issue, if you went up to the state house and took a look around there?
Well, the right now, since both the House and Senate are controlled by Democratic leadership who are both pro-abortion, well, I guess Madigan claims to be pro-life, but effectively, I mean, his actions seem to suggest that in reality his pro-life record has certainly become very tainted in the last few years. But and certainly, you know, with the Democrats in charge, there's been no, everything's been stymied in committee. We have not even got a floor vote on any pro-life legislation in the last legislative session.
Are there any statewide races in the elections tomorrow in Illinois?
No, it's basically no races of significance. I mean, at statewide level, they're all four-year terms, and they were all in 2002. Will be again in 2006.
Let's turn our attention then to the U.S. Senate candidates, and probably the ones that have been getting the most attention are Barack Obama and Alan Keyes. What do we look at here in terms of this Senate race for Illinois?
Well, the distinction is so black and white between the two candidates that, I mean, basically, Barack Obama comes down strongly on the liberal side of virtually every issue that you've got on the list. I mean, whether it be the marriage issue or any of the life issues, whether it be like stem cell research or, you know, cloning or, you know, just the basic, you know, abortion issue or other aspects, you know, such as Should there be informed consent for women, or should there be, you know, protection for underage women to have parental notification? He's against all of those things, and his voting record in the Illinois Senate has demonstrated and proved that that's his position on these issues. And he's actually got a commercial on the air right now where he says, "I'm pro-choice," and this person in another state district that's running, you know, for a state rep is like, "Is pro-choice with me?" And I asked your support on both. So he's certainly out there and stating that he's strongly in that, on that side of the fence.
Now, while Alan Keyes does have a very strong name recognition, and he does have very strong positions in the pro-life camp, is he realistically a possibility in tomorrow's election?
Well, let's put it this way: if you pay attention to the polls, you'd have to conclude that he's got no chance. Whether or not the polls are dead wrong and there's really a different perspective of what's going on here, you know, I guess remains to be seen. I mean, you'd have to assume that it's a real extreme long shot for him to pull it out. But I guess you know, there's no reason to not support him. I mean, if you agree with his views, there's absolutely no reason not to support him just because he's supposedly a long shot. I mean, I really don't know what the chances are, but I mean, certainly the polls are very discouraging from that standpoint.
Let's talk about the U.S. congressional districts, the two that are of interest in particular, the 12th and the 19th. Jerry Costello in the 12th is facing Aaron Zweigert. What do we know about this race with regard to the life issues?
Okay, well, in reality, in this particular race, we've got a pro-life Democrat, Jerry Costello, which, you know, is an unusual situation, but he's very solid. I mean, he's been rated number one by the Illinois Citizens for Life on life issues, which is the best rating you can get. And his opponent, the Republican, is also rated a one. So you've got a situation where, in reality, from the life issues standpoint, you can make a choice for either one. So I think that, you know, in most cases, when you've got a track record of an incumbent, you know, all other things being equal, you'd say you're going to support the incumbent in terms of saying that we want to live with that track record. Now, the other dynamic that individuals would have to make a judgment on is the fact that is this an issue relating to control of the House of Congress, and in this case it probably isn't. So, you know, I assume that most likely the incumbent will win this race, but I don't have any polling information on it. I'm just assuming that based on past history that most likely he's solid, unless there's some controversy that I would think would have probably filtered up to Chicago just to hear the controversy if there really was one. So I can't imagine there's anything that's really a liability for him.
Bill, this seems a little rare. Is it rare in your experience that you have a number one rated pro-life Democrat and a number one rated pro-life Republican running against each other for the same seat in the U.S. Congress?
Well, probably at least in terms of the things I referred to before for Illinois regarding, you know, our past track record, that the answer is probably yes. But I mean, clearly, Southern Illinois is much stronger pro-life than Northern Illinois in terms of generating candidates like that. As a matter of fact, in the state Senate, in the past legislative sessions, various bills that were like attempting to pass things that, you know, that pro-life people would oppose, you know, have failed because pro-life Democrats from Southern Illinois have stopped them. So, combined with pro-life Republicans from wherever in the state that they happen to be. So it is true that there's a different dynamic down in Southern Illinois, and strongly there's much more possibility of pro-life candidates than in some cases up here.
In the 19th congressional district, John Chimkus, the incumbent, is facing Tim Bagwell. Tell us about how these candidates shape up in terms of the pro-life positions.
Well, here John Chimkus is also rated one, so he's got a strong track record in Congress as pro-life, you know, and his voting record backs him up. Tim Bagwell is unknown because, effectively, he didn't respond to the survey. So now, typically, a non-response to a survey will most likely suggest that the candidate is of the pro-abortion persuasion and doesn't want to bother to specify anything. Or it could be just a lack of experience and not recognizing that these are important things to fill out. But in this case, you know, we don't really specifically know his positions based on any surveys that have been because he hasn't completed them.
Bill, before we let you go, why should someone vote pro-life in Illinois?
Well, I think that the key things are that, you know, the life issues now are expanding, you know, well beyond abortion. I mean, and there's the euthanasia issue is huge, and basically this is something that basically every single one of us is going to potentially face, depending on the dynamics, such as what's going on out in Oregon with the assisted suicide And so we've got, you know, we've got life issues at both ends of the spectrums and all the way in between in terms of the situation with you know, stem cell research and where that should be focused in terms of, you know, is adult stem cell research really the right choice based on all the successes that occurred so far, or should we be spending dollars on this embryonic stem cell research, which may just be wasted dollars, and we could get a lot more out of bang for our buck if we focused those dollars on adult stem cell research. So there's so many spectrums there, and in fact, the people that come down on life issues almost seem to be, you know, very few cases where there's exceptions along the line. It's like they're either on one side of all those issues or on the other side of all those issues. So it's like, you know, you have to look at those as a block almost, and if you're supporting life issues, you're going to have to find a candidate that supports you on all those issues.
Bill Beckman is Executive Director of Illinois Right to Life. Bill, thanks for your time, and thanks for being our guest.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
The website for Illinois Right to Life, illinoisrighttolife.org, illinoisrighttolife.org. Joining us now for about the next 10 or 15 minutes, Pam Fichter in Missouri. We're going to talk about the pro-life Missouri candidates, and we do have some statewide races to talk about in Missouri in tomorrow's election. Pam is president of Missouri Right to Life. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Nice to be with you.
Let's talk about those statewide races in Missouri. What's the biggest one that's facing the pro-life voter there?
Well, frankly, the whole ticket. I mean, everyone is up, you know, all of the top-of-the-line offices are running this year. So we have governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, state treasurer, and attorney general. And every office is important.
All right, let's start with governor then, if we could. How does that race come down? We've basically got Matt Blunt facing a lot of challengers there. Who's his biggest challenge? And how does Matt Blunt stand on the life issues?
Well, Matt Blunt's opponent is Claire McCaskill, and Matt has a solid pro-life voting record from his time as a legislator. We do have a problem with Matt on his position on embryonic stem cell research and somatic cell nuclear transfer. But when we look at the overall picture of these two candidates, Claire McCaskill is also supports those. She supports cloning and embryonic stem cell research, but she also supports government taxpayer subsidizing of that research. She's also very pro-abortion. She opposed a ban on partial birth abortion, and she is in favor of taxpayer funding of abortion facilities. So when we look at those two candidates, clearly the more pro-life candidate is Matt Blunt, and he has received our endorsement.
The endorsement that you have laid out for lieutenant governor is Pat Sechrest. Tell us about
that. No, that was in the primary.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we have endorsed Peter Kinder.
Peter Kinder, I'm sorry.
And Peter Kinder has a very solid pro-life record. Again, we have some concerns with him over the embryonic stem cell research and somatic cell nuclear transfer, and that's certainly a very important issue. But he, again, when we look at the two candidates here, his opponent is pro-abortion, has a very solid pro-abortion record, and is supported by all the pro-abortion groups. And of those two candidates, Peter Kinder is far superior and is by far the more pro-life candidate.
Someone looks at a position like Secretary of State, and we've been hearing a lot of ads in Missouri for the two candidates for Secretary of State. Someone might ask, as a pro-life voter, why does that matter? Who is Secretary of State?
Well, you look at, you know, it's not just this office that they're running for. You look at the political career of a candidate, and do you want to advance a candidate who does not represent your values on the life issues? And with Catherine Hanaway, Catherine is a solid pro-life candidate, and Catherine is also opposed to somatic cell nuclear transfer. She's opposed to embryonic stem cell research. She has a solid pro-life voting record. As opposed to her opponent, who, while she hasn't held office, she is endorsed by all of the pro-abortion groups, from NARAL to Emily's List to Planned Parenthood's Political Action Committee. So you look at, you know, do you want to advance the political career of a candidate who does not represent your values on the life issues?
So you're thinking more long-term when you look at a position like
that. Well, certainly, and you also look for the leadership. I mean, Catherine Hanaway was Speaker of the House last year, and though she will not be directly voting on these issues, she certainly has an impact on her party, and certainly through the leadership that she has shown in the past, you know, we fully anticipate that Catherine will be a leader in helping influence this legislation.
Attorney General has a more obvious importance in terms of pro-life legislation and litigation, things like that. How does that race in Missouri stack up?
Well, again, we have Chris Byrd, who has been rated pro-life, has received our endorsement, and he's running against the incumbent Jay Nixon, who is pro-abortion. He has not been a friend to pro-life legislation in the state of Missouri, and we certainly encourage people to support Chris Byrd in that race.
State Treasurer, tell us about that race from the pro-life perspective.
Well, we have Sarah Steelman, who has been rated pro-life. Sarah, again, and her record in the legislature. Sarah is a very pro-life candidate, and her opponent did not respond to our survey. And as your previous guest said, when someone doesn't respond, that sends up a red flag, and you have to wonder what they're trying to hide. So we go with what we know about the candidates, and Sarah Steelman is the pro-life candidate in that race and has received the endorsement of Missouri Right to Life PAC.
There is also the U.S. Senate race, and is life an issue in this race as well?
Oh, certainly. You know, the United States Senate has dealt with some very important pro-life legislation. They've had the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, and they have passed the ban on partial birth abortion. And we're also looking to the Senate to work on banning all human cloning in our country. And so we encourage people to look at the pro-life ratings of those candidates as well. And we have in the first Senate district, of course, we have Kit Bond, who's has a 100% pro-life rating, and his opponent is pro-abortion. First congressional district, we have Leslie Farr, who is pro-life, and running against William Lacey Clay, who is pro-abortion. And 2nd Congressional District, a longtime friend and great advocate for pro-life, Todd Akin, running against a candidate who is not as strongly pro-life as Todd is, and Todd has a wonderful track record, a wonderful history of supporting life issues. Most importantly, we have in the 3rd Congressional District, because this is an open seat, and we have Bill Federer, who is pro-life and received our endorsement. He's running against Russ Carnahan, and Russ Carnahan is a great friend of the abortion industry and a great friend of abortion in everything that he's done in his history in the Missouri legislature, and we fully anticipate that if he were to be elected, that he would not be a friend to pro-life for the 3rd Congressional District.
Are there any other congressional races in the St. Louis listening area that our listeners need to know about for the nine that Missouri sends up to the House?
Well, they're all important, you know, and statewide, every race that is up is important. Every vote is important. So we would encourage your listeners, if they have any questions about these additional races, to go to our website at www.missourilife.org and check out the endorsements of Missouri Right to Life on all of these races.
I've got a question about the Senate race, because there are times when races are more important than others. The balance of the U.S. House is not so much going to be called into question by this election. It's going to stay in the hands of the Republicans and ostensibly in the hands of pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate is a different story. How important is it that, for instance, Kit Bond in Missouri, the pro-life candidate, hold his seat?
Well, it's crucial because who controls the Senate is who controls the committee leaderships, and this is going to determine what bills are even going to be voted on, is who's going to be in control of these committees. So we're looking for pro-life candidates to be elected, and certainly Kit Bond would be a great representative of Missouri and would also help make sure that we maintain a pro-life leadership in the Senate.
Does Missouri Right to Life in any way endorse judges or candidates for the bench?
Well, it's very difficult to do that because in the situation with judges, you know, that it is illegal for them to complete surveys. And when you look at the judges that are running, you know, the judges that are on the ballot, they may not have had an opportunity because of their particular jurisdiction or their particular level that they are to rule on anything pro-life. And then you have the situation where, are they ruling based on judicial precedent? Are they following law? So it's really very difficult to endorse judges. We don't endorse judges.
Is Missouri a pro-life state?
Yes, it is. You know, we have seen, you know, a continuing increase in the election of pro-life candidates of both parties. As a matter of fact, we have a very strong pro-life caucus in the Democratic Party, which has allowed us to overturn the vetoes of pro-abortion Democrat governors on two different bills. So we have a very important bipartisan pro-life representation in Jefferson City, and we certainly hope to continue that.
Could we even call Missouri a leader in terms of, as a state, a leader in pro-life legislation and the way it deals with the various pro-life issues and who it elects?
I think so. I you know, because we have such a pro-life constituency, I think other states look to us to see the type of legislation that we're able to get passed, and also the way that we're able to work on a bipartisan level to get this legislation passed.
Just curious, to your knowledge, and this has to do with the presidential race, is Missouri expected to go to President George W. Bush or to Senator Kerry tomorrow?
From the polling that I've heard, it is expected to go to President Bush, as in my understanding is that both campaigns have moved on to focus on other states because the poll numbers show that Missouri will go to President Bush.
The website for Missouri Right to Life is MissouriLife.org, MissouriLife.org. Pam Fichter, thank you for being our guest.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life, a brief survey of the pro-life candidates statewide and a little bit on the national level from Missouri up to the federal level. When we come back from this break, you're going to need to stay tuned because this is a very interesting conversation that we had earlier today with Alexia Kelly. If you heard our interview about a month ago with Tim Gagelein, a special liaison to the president at the White House, for religious affairs, more or less, we talked with him and asked him some point-blank questions about the president, faith, and politics. Well, we've had the opportunity earlier today to talk with Alexia Kelly. She's religious outreach director for the Kerry campaign. She joined us from Ohio. We're going to talk about the same things, faith, politics, and Democratic presidential candidate Senator John Kerry. That's coming up right after this break. Now, some of the questions we had the opportunity to ask her, is President Kerry in any sense a puppet of the religious left? Is Senator Kerry accepting endorsements from clergy? Why is he campaigning in churches, and why is he quoting scripture? And you might want to listen very carefully to the first couple questions here, because after the first few we get into the issue of abortion, she will say very clearly, listen, tell me if my ears deceive me, that Senator Kerry is opposed to abortion. From her answers, it almost sounds like she was saying that Senator Kerry is pro-life. But we'll talk about his faith, his politics, and the senator himself when we come back from this break. Alexia Kelly will be our guest then. Then we'll be talking with Father Richard John Newhouse a little bit later in the third hour of the program. We'll talk about the Catholic vote with Father Newhouse, editor-in-chief of First Things. And then, finally, Dr. Frank Beckwith will join us for the last 25 minutes of the program. We'll talk about Christians and what he calls strategic pro-life voting. He's Associate Professor of Church State Studies and Associate Director of the J.M. Dawson Institute at Baylor University. We'll be right back.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
Of the things God's been teaching you during this series. When you order the keychain, we'll also send you a copy of this series on cassette or CD. The series is called The Blessing of Thorns. It would be a wonderful resource to grace your library.
At historic Salem Lutheran Church and Zion Lutheran Church in Perry County, Missouri, The traditions St. Paul received from Jesus and passed along to all generations of believers are well preserved and honorably maintained. These traditions are founded upon the unerring Word of God, whereby the proper administration of the Lord's Supper is directed, and the increase of God's family is nurtured through the baptismal tide. In maintaining these traditions, we are and remain centered on Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. How would you define the word family? According to the Bible, your family consists of those to whom you are related by blood, marriage, or adoption. Part of the breakdown of the American family today consists in redefining the term. In sitcoms, popular songs, and movies, the word family is often used to refer to any group of people living together. Don't let your children be misled by this. As Christian parents, remind your children that Jesus loved them enough to die on the cross for them, and He has also given them a real family who loves and nurtures them. Your family is a blessing to be appreciated and treasured. It is not a theoretical term to be redefined by the media. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
AM 850 KFUO appreciates the generosity of our listeners. Without financial contributions, we could not continue to broadcast the good news for the world by the gift of Jesus Christ. If you would like to help us, we want you to know that the process is quick and easy online. Visit our website at kfuo.org and just click Support under Departments in the upper left-hand corner. Fill out the form and accept our thanks at AM 850 KFUO.
It's no secret that today's postmodern culture presents a challenge for parents. That's why Issues Etc. and Concordia Publishing House are pleased to offer two books of the month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens and Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. Each book costs only $9.99 plus shipping and handling. The Faithfully Parenting series is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or check it out at issuesetc.org and click the What's New section.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined here for the next few minutes by Alexia Kelly. She's Religious Outreach Director for the Kerry Campaign. She's joining us from Ohio. We're going to talk about faith, politics, and the Democratic presidential candidate, Senator John Kerry. Alexia, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, how important is Senator Kerry's faith to him?
John Kerry's faith is very important to him. It informs and has informed his life of service and his values in terms of stewardship of the creation and the economy, and a strong concern for the common good, the poor and the vulnerable. He is a lifelong Catholic and attends Mass weekly, regularly, and he even served as an altar boy and considered becoming a priest as a young man. So his faith is very central to him and a real inspiration for his values.
What role do you think faith will play in the election tomorrow?
Well, I think we've all seen that it has played a very significant role. It certainly has gotten a lot of media attention, I think, in this presidential election, possibly more than any other election in our lifetime, at least I think in my lifetime. So I think we all know it's certainly gotten a lot of attention. And I think the reason for there are probably several reasons for that. Americans are very religious people. I mean, all the studies show that, and Americans are religious and are believers in high numbers. So faith is very important to us as Americans and as people, as citizens. So it certainly plays a part, as it, you can't separate your faith and your values from your opinions and your positions on issues. So it certainly, I think, will play a very important role as people make decisions and participate in civic life and our election tomorrow.
There are some bishops who have suggested that as a public official, I must cast votes or take public positions on issues like a woman's right to choose or stem cell research that carry out the tenets of the Catholic Church. I love my church. I respect the bishops. but I respectfully disagree. That's not possible or right in a pluralistic society. But my faith does give me values to live by and to apply to the decisions that I make.
Alexia, how can Senator Kerry act upon the values of his faith and his church on issues like you mentioned before, poverty and the environment, and not act upon the values of his faith and his church when it comes to issues like abortion and embryonic stem cell research?
Well, as an article of his faith, John Kerry is personally opposed to abortion. And as a Catholic, he is proud of Catholic teaching on the sacredness of human life. But I think he and John Kerry and John Edwards will, in fact, work together across our differences to support women and families to make abortion as rare as possible. And I think we saw that in the last Democratic administration when abortion reached their lowest level in 26 years. And so I think we have to ask how we can be effectively pro-life and help to reduce abortions. We have early state data that is suggesting that abortion numbers have been increasing under President Bush. So I think as Father David Hollenbach said recently, and Notre Dame Dean Roach said recently, we have to ask how, in fact, we are pro-life effectively in our society today. So I think given the reality of the 1973 Supreme Court decision in our democratic society, Senator Kerry supports the Constitution, as do many pro-life Catholics and other believing Americans, and we want to see abortion become as rare as possible, and we want to find the ways to do that. And I think by persuasion and by providing support to women and families that Senator Kerry and John Edwards will do, as we saw in our last Democratic administration, that will help, that will reduce abortions more effectively than we're seeing being done today under this current administration.
You said that Senator Kerry is personally opposed to abortion. Does he believe that abortion is wrong?
Yes, I think as an article of his faith, he is personally opposed to abortion.
The old saying, what does it mean, my brother, to say you have faith if there are no deeds? Faith without works is dead.
Alexia, is it appropriate for politicians to be quoting the Bible and Bible passages like this on the campaign trail?
Well, I think these scriptural passages are familiar to many of us, and they speak powerfully to our shared values, to our shared moral values, social values, and they communicate these values very powerfully to Americans. So the ones that I think the scripture passages that John Kerry has used recently and on the campaign trail, for example, the story of the Good Samaritan, Matthew 25, these speak to a vision of building up the common good, of taking care of our neighbors, of having our neighbors back, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and where we need to get to and where we really are. But I think these using scriptural passages resonate with people.
Jesus said, love your neighbor as thyself, because that's how you reach the kingdom of heaven. Now, folks, as I look around me in this country, for all the talk, for all the professions of faith and how strong we are, we've got a lot more loving of our neighbor to do in the United States of America.
Alexia, is Senator Kerry saying there that it is the government's role to love our neighbor? Quoting there another Bible passage.
No, I think he is saying that the government, along with faith-based institutions and citizens and all parts of our society, need to work together to help live out our values and create a society that really values the common good and lifts up everybody, all families, all children, does not leave children behind or families behind, as we're seeing today with 13 million children living in poverty and 4 more million people in poverty under George Bush's watch and 1.65 million jobs lost, 5 million more without health insurance in the last 3 years. So I think he's not saying that the government does all of this. In fact, we've seen the deficit multiply under George Bush and spending go up. So we see even conservatives concerned about this President Bush's record on spending. I think Senator Kerry will support effective collaborative programs, and he supports faith-based initiatives and partnerships between the public and private sector that will effectively create a society and build up the common good.
My brothers and my sisters, the next president of the United States, the Democratic nominee, United States Senator John Kerry.
As a minister of the gospel, and since this is a Church of Jesus Christ, I am not at liberty to stand and endorse any candidate. However, that's the most powerful however I've ever heard spoken. I'm here to ask. I need your help. I need your vote. You can make the difference. Let's go out and get it done. Thank you. God bless you all.
I am fully supportive of Brother Kerry's election because I think that we've got to make a change.
Alexia, is it appropriate? There are two questions here with regard to what we just heard. Is it appropriate for Senator Kerry to be campaigning in churches? And is it appropriate for these clergy to be endorsing publicly Senator Kerry?
Senator Kerry, John Kerry, is not seeking endorsements. He is not rejecting endorsements that he receives. And I think we need to ask, though, also about, you know, the endorsements and language that's been used to talk about George Bush. I mean, we have Pat Robertson and others, many others, suggesting that George Bush is divinely ordained and somehow receiving a direct word of God and making his decisions. You know, and he seeks photo opportunities with the Pope, even though Pope John Paul II has condemned the Iraq War and its execution as a moral failure, in addition to his envoys having condemned it as a moral failure and not contributing to a safer world. So I think that's really where the question needs to be, when most of the language and endorsements we see are talking about President Bush as somehow a divinely appointed leader. I think that's of great concern to many people. I think that Senator Kerry accepts invitations to speak to communities, and he is not seeking endorsements from religious leaders, but he's not going to reject endorsements or support that he receives from different communities.
About a month ago, we talked with Tim Gagelein, who is a special liaison to the White House on religious affairs, basically your counterpart at the White House. And I asked Tim Gagelein whether or not President George W. Bush was a puppet of the religious right. Is Senator John Kerry a puppet of the religious left?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that the values and the policies that John Kerry supports reach across the spectrum of both believing Americans and Americans of all stripes. And I think John Kerry is interested in uniting our country across religious and all other lines. And clearly, no, he is not a puppet of the religious left. I don't even know what the religious left would be. As a Catholic, I myself am a Catholic, and I don't really know how you would describe the religious left. I think that he shares values that come out of our Catholic social tradition that our bishops have written about for many years, and our church over a century has developed a wonderful tradition of Catholic social teaching that comes out of the Gospels and Hebrew Scripture and papal teachings over the years, and it's a wonderful tradition on the common good and how to create a society that works for all Americans, that values the poor, as Jesus said, you know, blessed are the poor, that builds up peace and unity, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think that, he is not a puppet of any particular religious sector. He is I think, reflecting and speaking of shared values that cross the lines, and he will be a uniter, and unite us across our differences rather than divide us right and left and red and blue, as I think we've seen happen over the last years.
It is entirely within ethical bounds to do embryonic stem cell research without violating one's beliefs at all about what life is or where it is and what matters.
The ethical test of a good society is how it treats its most vulnerable members.
Alexia, does Senator Kerry include in those most vulnerable members of society the human embryo, either in the petri dish, as in embryonic stem cell research, or in the womb regarding abortion?
Yes. I mean, as I said earlier, as a Catholic, John Kerry is personally opposed to abortion, and he strongly believes that human life is sacred.
Then several questions on, since Senator Kerry has voted several times, I believe, against bills that would ban partial birth abortion, why has he done this?
Well, the bill that was put up forward for a vote did not include an exception for the life of the mother. And I think that because he values life and values values life, he was not able to support that particular bill that did not have that exception for the life or the health of the mother. And many people were not able to support that particular bill. And I think, you know, there's been some criticism of it as being kind of a political, political sort of effort to bring up the issue as a wedge issue, but not really to pass something that would pass muster of our judges. So that, in fact, has not worked effectively. And just the same way we have to ask, is George Bush truly pro-life himself, when we're seeing that abortion numbers under his policies, where people are not able to choose life, or clearly are not, as we're seeing early state data suggests that abortion rates numbers are going up. So we have to ask, how do we be effectively pro-life and really help to reduce abortion in this country?
So then two questions following up on that. How does Senator Kerry define the health and the life of the mother?
Well, if the mother's life is in peril, then her life is in danger. How would you define it?
Well, I don't know how I would define it, because I personally don't recognize those kind of exceptions. I was just curious how the senator would define it, since it is the criterion.
I think if the mother was going to die, then that would be that her life would be at risk. Her life was, you know, the life of the mother was in peril.
So given that criterion, why hasn't Senator Kerry sponsored his own bill to ban partial birth abortion, one that met this criterion of the health and the life of the mother? Or does he plan to support one if he's elected?
I can't speak to what his plans are. I can just speak to the fact that, you know, as a Catholic, he has said he is personally opposed to abortion, and that he has also, you know, he said in the debate that he could not support that bill because it did not have an exception for the life of the mother.
Finally, Alexia, regardless of the outcome of tomorrow's election, people of faith on both sides are going to be disappointed. How would you urge them to react on either side, if their guy loses or if their guy loses? How would you urge people of faith to react?
Well, I think that, you know, we have shared and uniting values, you know, that cuts across our, you know, can unite us in our faith. And I think as people of faith, we can look to and begin to look for the uniting factors in our faith. You know, we all care about the poor. We all care about families and children. And we have many shared values that come across our faith traditions. And I think people of faith could play a role in helping to unite this country, a powerful role in helping to unite this country, whatever the outcome of the election. And I think that in history we've seen people of faith play that role at different crucial times in our history when the country has needed healing and unity at different times in our country's history. So I think people of faith can look to their traditions, can look to their values and their faith, and help to provide that unity when it's most needed in America today.
Alexia Kelly is Religious Outreach Director for the Kerry Campaign. She joined us from Ohio. Alexia, thank you very much for being our guest. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what did you think of Alexia Kelly's answers to my questions during that interview? That's certainly an interview you're not likely to hear on Christian radio anyplace else, an interview with the Religious Outreach Director of the Kerry Campaign. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have a few minutes here for your phone calls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In about 10 minutes, Father Richard John Newhouse will join us to talk about the Catholic vote. I can't think of anyone better to consult when it comes to the issues of the presidential politics of the election tomorrow and Roman Catholics in America than Father Richard John Newhouse, editor-in-chief of First Things. We'll talk with him in about 10 minutes. And then Frank Beckwith will join us in the last half hour of the program. We are signing off a little bit earlier from now on throughout the rest of the year because of the time change. We'll go to 5:45. Frank will join us up until then to talk about strategic pro-life voting. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we wait for your phone calls, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's a new month. It's called Faithfully Parenting Teens. You can also choose a different book that's called Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. They both are a help to you as you carry out your primary duty as a parent. That is to, not to feed your kids, not just to clothe your kids, not just to educate your kids or to raise them to be good citizens, but your primary duty as a parent is to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we hope to help you do that with our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens. The book is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. You can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Faithfully Parenting Teens, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens. And if your kids aren't to the teenage years, there is an alternate volume there called Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. Let's go to the phones. Jack is up first. He's calling from his car. Jack, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on this oft-repeated phrase of people of different faith traditions can come together. We were just studying in Sunday school yesterday the reign of King Ahaz in the kingdom of Judah, and he was very roundly condemned by the Bible because he blended the faith traditions of the Phoenicians and of the Assyrians and of the God of Israel, and he's the only one I can think of who could have child sacrifice right next to the God of Judah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and try to blend them together, and he was very roundly condemned. I just wonder what your comments are there.
Well, Jack, I got two thoughts on it. First of all, I think the connection of child sacrifice with the true Christian religion is apropos of the responses that we were getting in that interview, whereas abortion is roundly and soundly accepted by Senator Kerry and how he votes, his liaison for religious outreach, Alexia Kelly, kept on telling us that he was essentially pro-life. He thought abortion was wrong. He was personally opposed to abortion. There's a good example of what we talked about a little, maybe it was last week, about personally opposed politicians. Doesn't do you a lot of good when you're just personally opposed and that's all you are. The other thing that I think we need to note, however, I think when Alexia was talking about people of different faith traditions coming together and uniting, she was not talking about syncretism. She was not talking about joining religions. I think she was talking about simply people of all faiths, this kind of patchwork quilt of faiths that we have in the United States, uniting together as Americans rather than uniting together in their religious beliefs, to be fair to Alexia. But thank you very much for the call, Jack. Jim is calling from his car. Jim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm just driving through St. Louis. I'm an 18-wheeler. I apologize for the background noise.
That's fine.
That was a very... I just caught the last part of Ms. Kelly's interview and your discussion. That was the biggest bunch of political double talk I've heard in a long time. She may be a very nice lady, but she tried to excuse one bill that the senator voted for when he's voted pro-choice at least six times. And what she came right out and said is, Mr. Kerry has no core values that he would stand up for. He will go wherever the political winds want him to be blown.
Jim, thank you very much. Thank you, Jim. Well, you heard it yourself, didn't you, folks? I mean, Alexia Kelly told us at one moment he thinks abortion shouldn't happen. He wants it to be rare. He's personally opposed to abortion. When asked, well, he voted against partial birth abortion several occasions. She did mention only one time. When asked, how does the senator define the health and the life of the mother? The only thing she was willing to talk about was the life of the mother. She kind of sidestepped the whole health issue. And then she said, well, if a woman's going to die, I guess that would put her life in jeopardy. And when asked, why then didn't the senator write his own ban on partial birth abortion that met his own criteria for health and life? All she could talk about was whether or not what he planned to do in the future. There was some avoidance of questions, I believe. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. But I got to sympathize with her as trying to sort out these positions, because when the person you're trying to speak for has two fundamentally and logically contradictory positions, like I'm against abortion, but I vote for it at every opportunity and in every form, what are you going to do? I felt for her, tell you the truth. Tim is calling from his car. Tim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, Pastor Todd, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I guess the question I've wished someone would ask, I should have called in last week and told you, but on this partial birth abortion issue, as to an exception for the life of the mother, I'd like to know what condition would present a life-threatening situation for the mother if the baby is already two-thirds of the way out that would require the death of the baby in order to save the mother.
You are absolutely right, Tim. You're absolutely right. That is a very, that's what I was asking when I was asking about the health of the mother, is, look, partial birth abortion requires, in order for it to be performed, that the child be brought fully out of the womb. Now, you may want to count the head still in the birth canal being held in by the abortionist as not being born. We shouldn't be calling it partial birth. We should be calling it born abortion. We should be calling it infanticide. What circumstance is there in which a woman could not do that and then not bring the child to full term? How would bringing the child to full term threaten her life if she can undergo a partial birth abortion without a threat to her life? Jeff is calling from his car. Jeff, welcome.
Pastor Todd?
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to point out one thing that I know she kept referring to, the abortions have been down, have been up under the Bush administration, she says.
Yes.
If I remember right, under the Clinton administration, they passed a law that the abortions couldn't be counted. And under the Bush administration, they changed this law so that we could get a number of how many abortions. So I think if I have my history right, she's being disingenuous.
Hey, Jeff, I've only got a few seconds here. Would you email me that information? Do you have it in a reliable form, that information? Because I'd be anxious to have it. T. Wilken, T-W-I-L-K-E-N, at KFUO.org. By the way, we're going to be replaying this interview again tomorrow and get your reaction as well on Election Day. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Father Richard John Newhouse, editor of First Things, a journal of religion and public life, about the Catholic vote. How important is it? And he'll answer the question, or he'll try to answer the question, on Election Day, who, John Kerry or George W. Bush, will be getting the majority of the Catholic vote? We'll be right back after this with Father Richard John Newhouse.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.